Savvy Traveler's Tanya Ott jumped in to find out more.
Every year, millions of us flock to coastal communities across the United States. We shimmy into our swimsuits, slop on the sunscreen, and storm the sand.
Madeline Delphin. I'm originally from Puerto Rico.
Some of us take Delphin's route, lugging lawn chairs and tackle boxes from point to point, searching for that magic fishing spot. Delphin's been coming here, to Cedar Key, off Florida's middle Gulf Coast, for years now, fishing for sea trout, mullet, whiting, whatever's biting. But she says in recent years, her catch has gone down.
Yes, lately a little bit less, to tell you the truth.
Delphin doesn't know why, but New Mexico tourist Mary Jo Skarsgård has an idea.
Absolutely, a lot of it's weather-related and just overabundance of people and fishing and all those kinds of things, and pollution.
And she's right, according to researcher Loretta Burke of the Washington, D.C.-based World Resource Institute.
I think the verdict is out among scientists, which is more important. They're certainly seeing effects of overfishing, but also sediments and pollution, both from nearby coastal activities and from agriculture far inland.
Burke says the problem is particularly noticeable here in the Florida Keys. A recent study by her organization found that even though the Keys are a protected marine sanctuary, 90% of them are threatened by human activity. Coral reef diseases caused by contact with humans have increased tenfold in the last decade, and the tourists are starting to notice. New Yorker Jane Graham has snorkeled in the Caribbean several times. On this day, she's on my catamaran off the coast of Key West.
And maybe, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I thought I noticed more coral in this area, and I wondered if they weren't damaged, if the coral didn't have bigger areas of, it looked like spots where the bacteria had gotten in.
The World Resource Institute's Loretta Burke says if things keep up, the Florida Keys run the risk of becoming so-called dead zones, which could have a devastating effect on South Florida's booming tourism industry. Last year alone, more than 1 million divers visited the Keys, spending $1.6 billion. Tour boat operators know their livelihood is at stake, so they're fighting back by launching public education campaigns.
Okay, guys, if I could have your attention, I just need y'all to come on back here. We're going to talk to you a little bit today about where we're going and what we're doing.
Wendy Kitchell is a tour guide for Sunny Days Catamarans, one of the larger operations, which runs 4 snorkeling cruises a day. She explains to clients that coral is on the decline worldwide due to human impact.
So what that means for us today is there's no standing up anywhere. There's no kicking anything. There's no touching anything. There's no bringing anything back with you. Visual experience only. If you touch coral, if you pick it, kick it, flick it, whatever you do to it, you're ripping open their very thin protective membrane that covers over it, and bacteria is going to get in. It's going to kill that whole portion of the coral.
You also don't want to touch coral because it can hurt you. It's very sharp, and at least one species, called fire coral, can give you a first or second degree chemical burn. So are divers and snorkelers getting the message? Well, sort of, according to David Graham and his wife Jane.
We still had someone standing on the reef today that had to be yelled at because he wasn't thinking. And it's not totally pervasive. I think that in a group of 20, you'll find maybe one person that doesn't get it. That's not bad. There's 19 that do.
I think there's too many groups come out at once. I mean, here today there was 1.6 boats with approximately 20 people a boat. So 100 people at once I think is too much. I think they should stagger them more.
But it's the number of people, staggered or not, that's at issue here, not only for the coral reefs, but for the thousands of coastal businesses that feed off tourist traffic.
It's the restaurants, the hotels, the resorts, the people that sell fishing rods and fishing gear. It's the dive shops. It's the tour operators. It's recreational boating. It's sport fishing. It goes on and on.
University of Delaware ocean researcher Robert Kinect just completed a study for the U.S. government on the impact of coastal tourism and how it's managed.
There's no question about it that much of the coastal environment has a definite carrying capacity. Certainly the amount of use we're making of the oceans and the coasts has increased substantially in the last couple of decades. And we're finding that increasingly the policy and management approaches that we're bringing to these increases are inadequate and inappropriate. They're too fragmented.
Tourism, fishing, oil, coastal development, they're all regulated by different local, state, and federal government agencies with different rules and regulations. Ne'er the twain shall meet until this year. In June, for the first time in more than three decades, researchers, environmentalists, politicians, and business people met in California to come up with an integrated coastal and ocean management plan, which supporters hope will save the underwater rainforests of the world. In Florida, I'm Tanya Ott for the Savvy Traveler.